The book.
Reasons why you must be a soul winner. Now, today, the point that we are preaching from is you must be a soul winner because God has sent us to invite people to the feast of the Lord. It's called the feast of the Lord. The feast of the Lord. Everybody say with me, an invitation to the feast of the Lord. Yeah, it is so important to see this, that the invitation is to the feast of the Lord, and the invitation is as the result of what the Son or the Lord himself has accomplished. Yeah. It is so important. It is so important that the invitation is to the feast of the Lord. It is to the feast of the Lord. The Father himself is organizing a feast for his Son. And he throws an invitation to all. For he so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He gave the Son to all men. Because all men were dead and were under a sentence. All men were cursed. All men were in bondage to the devil, to the enemy, that wicked being. And we were all held under the grip of his wickedness and influence. And devils and demons were released against us. Not by what we did as individuals, but by what one man did. By the seed that was sown in that one man, this sentence was passed upon all humanity. It's called injustice. Say with me, injustice.
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 Say with me, injustice.
Injustice. Injustice.
So now, God also said that I will bring forth justice. And so God said that he's also going to send his Son. He purposed to send his Son, his own Son. He's called the Son of Man. And in that Son of Man, the injustice that was brought upon humanity was brought to an end. And the justice of God was served. And now there's an invitation unto all men who have suffered the injustice, unto all men who have lived a cursed life, unto all men who have lived in bondage, to torment, to sickness, to disease, to sorrow, to pain, to cancer, to deprivation, to hopelessness, to vanity of vanities. God says, my justice will bring forth deliverance and I will make all things right. And this he has done through his Son. And the invitation is unto us. Unto every one of us, unto prostitutes, unto all people who have lived in bondage, who have been used by devil to wreak havoc. So unto all. So unto all. And so the scripture says in Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Please pay attention. Pay utmost attention. The scripture says in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them, compel them, compel them, which is where we get the word anakazo from. It says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, compel them. This is the feast of the Lord. And the Lord is declaring to his servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. Now you would notice that in this parable that the Lord taught us, the first or the initial invitation was to a certain group of people who were called. You know, you would notice that all of them were kind of influential in a way. You know, one of them said that I've married a wife. You know, if you're very poor and you are a non-entity, you don't think of marriage. All you think of what to eat, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we have what you eat. Say you're going to marry, because in those times to marry, I mean, you must be accomplished. You must have put all things in place. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even the celebration, the ceremony. All the reasons why when Jesus turned water into wine at that celebration, at that marriage ceremony, you have no idea that this grace that was coming to the bride's family. There was so much disgrace. Like, my God, my rich daughter is going to be married to this poor. I mean, my rich son is going to be married to this poor girl from this poor family. They can't even serve wine. Ah! You have invited all these people, and they can't even serve wine. Disgrace was knocking at the door, and Jesus stepped in.
His dad is coming.
I tell you, their fists were about to be. I mean, it's like disgrace upon disgrace. you can't even provide just wine for your visitors to drink. And you want, I'm giving my son in marriage to your daughter. What kind of thing is this? I don't respect this marriage. No. It's not going to happen. I'm about to end this marriage. And Jesus, you know, the Jesus' mother saw the disgrace. Son, you must do something. It's not nice. It's not good at all, son. You must do something. Then he left off. Jesus said, my time has not come. But, you know, the heartbeat of the mother, he could not ignore it. And so he did something. And the first day was ended. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And so you would notice that all the people were of substance. One says, I have bought a piece of land. You know, one says, I have purchased animals.
An ox.
Ox, yes. I need to try them out and all that. I mean, they were men of substance. See, that is why you must understand that any influence that God brings you, because see, any person who has influence, you will find out that you have influence over so many people, that your decision, your life that you live, if it is not lived in honor to the King, you cause many to perish. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You cause many to perish. That is why great judgment shall come upon anybody who sits in authority, who does not honor the King, and who does things to please and to exalt himself. Great judgment, because they cause the many. They cause many to perish. They cause many to perish. Anyway, that was just by the way. So it says, go onto the highways, into the hedges, and compel them. The lame, and then even when he went, the servant said, it's done. But there's still room. There is still room. Now, let's read a few more scriptures. Now, I'll tell you something that we need to get it. In Hosea 6, verse 1. You see, God is inviting, because he knows what is against you, and he knows the remedy, the only remedy. God fully understands the cause of your torment, the cause of your mental and emotional distress. He knows it. He knows the sleepless nights, the aches, the body pains, and all the rejection that you suffer. He knows the cause of it. He knows where it originates from. And he alone has the remedy. So he's always inviting. He was inviting his loved ones to deliverance, to partake of the feast of the Lord, his son. So he says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. Why does he tear to heal us? You find the answer in how he will bring great deliverance to the people of Israel. The country that he chose to bring forth his son. He will deliver them from their distractions and calamities and the bondages. And as soon as the deliverance comes, they begin to dwell in peace and peaceful habitations, and they begin to flourish. Immediately their hearts turn away from God unto other gods. And then God will use their enemies to come and punish them, tear them, smite them. Says that he has smitten and he will bind us up. Why does he do that? It's because the hearts of man keep wandering away. Is it that as their feet wander, so does their heart? Is it how your feet can go places?
Mm-hmm.
It says that as their feet wander about, so does their heart. So he tears with the intention of healing, so that man may now gladly and willingly choose his ways. But as he was doing all these things, he knew that by virtue of their very nature, the nature, because of the seed that was sown in man at the very beginning, he knows that their nature will cause them to keep violating and not choosing him. But he didn't relent. He didn't give up. He says, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. Every difficulty that you go through, it is one of your greatest blessings to see that, my God, I have to come to the end of myself. I have to stop depending on what I know and what I can do and what makes sense to me. I have to stop talking the way I've been talking. I have to stop it. I have to stop the way I've been thinking. I it's enough. I am tired. I am fed up with this frustration. I am fed up. Oh Lord, I give up on me. Please, the issue that you suffer, it's God wanting you. For he whom he loveth, he chastises. Chastisement is not punishment, it is correction. Correction unto living his life. Correction unto living his life, so that you will now come to the end of yourself and allow Jesus to be king. You crown him Lord. It's not enough to receive him as Savior, but you must crown him as Lord. This is what we are about to see in the life of every living person. Pastor, bishop, whatever. Say you have been a Christian for how many years and that you know the Bible. Well, we are about to see. Why? Why? You know, I'm going to share some few things with you. I pray I have time. Holy Spirit, please help me. Now, it says, and he will bind us up. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read it. I'm reading some scriptures, and then we're going to dive into a few things, which I believe will bring understanding unto you, so that you'll be established in his ways. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand. The Lord, the one whose feast you have been invited to, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Wow. Now he himself has come and he's standing at the door and he's knocking. We use this scripture for those who are not born again, but this scripture applies to you every day of your life. That is why Paul, who says that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, he's the one who also said that I die daily. What are you dying to if you are dead already? Think about it. If you are dead already, what are you dying to daily? The nature which used to rule him, he is dead to it. But he has a mind. He has a body. He has an opinion. He has his flesh. It has an influence on him. So he must die daily to his opinion, to what makes sense to him, to what he will naturally choose. And let Jesus be king over his own life first. It says, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. It is possible to be a Christian and become a castaway. It is possible.
Forgive.
It is possible to pay tithes and become a castaway. It is possible.
Forgive.
I said it is possible to attend church every Sunday and become a castaway. And we are about to see it. Because whatever God does, he proves it. Say with me, whatever God does, he proves it.
Whatever God does, he proves it.
I will show it to you because it's striking. It's humbling. So that you give up on yourself and embrace the life which is rightly yours. It's yours. I said the life that is in the Son is yours. You are entitled to it, but you must have respect to it. And let it rule your life. Then you begin to relate properly to other people. Otherwise, you can't. Otherwise, you can't. Because the nature that calls attention to itself, that nature, what is the nature of the devil, still has a voice and an influence. And it's affected everybody until you die. So it says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and not open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. This is the Lord's bidding to all of us every day. Behold, I stand at the door today. That's why I say that today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Every day is called today. Have you realized that every day is called today?
Yes.
No, have you realized that? Is it true or false?
True.
Every day is called today. And every day, when you hear his voice, he says, harden not your heart. So yesterday, you lived in and now to him. Today, he comes and he says, I'm still knocking today. Mm-hmm. Why? Until death, until you die, and your body, your flesh, which is influenced by your five senses, is put into a casket. The enemy does not give up because he knows that. He knows that it has been working. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
He knows that by his working hard, many people have made shipwreck of their faith. So Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Wow. How many of you have been blessed already?
Yes.
Give me another scripture. Wow. Give me another scripture. Jeremiah 35, verse 15. Jeremiah 35, verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. You see, the invitation is still, it's like the Bible is filled with invitation of God speaking to sons and daughters. You see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. It says, say unto them, as I live, say the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is saying that when the wicked amongst you dies, my heart is still broken. What? Do you see that?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Now, listen to me. It is very important for you. It's not important. That's an understatement. It is so vital that you align yourself with the Father and his Son. Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. And you be cursed along the way. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Meaning that adore, worship, exalt, glory in him alone and what he's saying and what he's doing, lest you be cursed along the way. So he says, say unto them as I live, said the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yeah. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Yes. Be careful when you rain curses upon others who offend you. You don't have the heart of the Father. You say, how do I get the heart of the Father? You submit to the Son. The heart of the Father comes into you because that is in the Son. And as you recognize, as you give great recognition of this life which is now in you, then you begin to have his heart. It's a process. But the Holy Spirit is present to ensure it. That's his assignment. All you do is yield. Oh, I'm trying. You are trying. Well, you are depending on yourself and your strength. You are depending on your flesh. That's why you are trying. But when you yield to the Spirit, your Spirit, your own Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, ah, thank you. I was standing there. Now you have let me in. Now watch what I'm going to do. Because nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. Nobody can say that I'm not going to be offended. Nobody can say that I'm not going to be infuriated by what this person did or is doing or is saying. Nobody can do it. But as you yield to the, your Spirit, you go on. Let's go on. It says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? Why will you die, oh, my house? Why will you die, oh, my son, oh, my daughter? Why will you choose death? Why? When life is for you, everything that is required to bring you into life, I have brought it to pass. For you are my workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. It's me who recreated you in Christ because I know the injustice that was done you. I know the injustice that was done you, and I also know the justice which I have brought forth in my son. And now you are my workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everything, it is me who built the house for you and put you into it. I qualified you to live in that house so that you will enjoy all the benefits. I don't require anything from you. I don't require much from you. All I require is yield. So that when you see another person who is not yielding, you say, Father, just as you impress upon my heart by your Spirit to yield, in the midst of offense to yield, in the midst of irritation to yield, in the midst of injustice to yield, in the midst of rejection to yield, in the midst of whatever to yield, I pray that this man also will see the light, and he also will come to the invitation of the Lord's feast, and he will partake of the life, that river that runs, Mako Tolaba. What do you guys think?
Powerful.
Hey, now, let me read something to you, and I will share a few things with you. I didn't really make notes. I don't know if I was out of laziness, but let me just read something to you. Let me read something to you that the Lord impressed upon a lady just a few days ago, which I stumbled upon. He titled it, The Return of the Prodigals. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
The Return of the Prodigals. And he said that the father will get his reward. This is the lady who is in Winchester. I think it's VA. That's where she's at. She says, Heavenly Father is going after his prodigals. He has let them go after the world for their determined time, knowing there would come that divine moment of awakening and return. Knowing the willfulness of his sons and daughters, he has allowed some to go after their flesh, to pursue their counterfeit dreams and personal ambitions. And yet, he has known their time is coming to an end, knowing their journey will take them to the bottom. He has allowed the painful process to complete its work. That's why he said that he has torn, he will what? Mend. Remember?
Yes.
Yes. Wanting them to be fully convinced of the destructive nature of the flesh. He has given them latitude in their rebellion, not wanting them to ever return to their wasted wishes and senseless wanderings. He has given them the needed time for their moment of full awakening to love, wanting their hearts more than their submission. He wants their hearts more than their submission. You say, what is the difference? What's the difference? I'm going to tell you what difference there is in it. He has been drumming them back slowly but surely. The time of their homecoming is just around the corner. Those who have believed a lie are soon to awaken to the truth. Many prodigals are now coming to the end of themselves and realizing the emptiness of their ways. The father has been joyfully anticipating this time when those he has held in his heart will soon be held in his embrace. He has held them in his heart. but they are so distant. They have not chosen his way, so he couldn't embrace them. But now he's about to embrace them. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, the heart of the Father is about to be pleased. Why? Because that is his longings are about to be fulfilled as the prodigals return to his son. It says, this is his reward, to see those destined for great things return home to claim their rightful place and goodly inheritance. This is his joy and his crown, to see his prodigals fully redeemed and walking in their true identity. Not only are prodigals returning to families of origin, rebels are emerging from unexpected places to find their place in the Father's house. He's about to welcome many who once set themselves against his house, for their awakening to truth will be dramatic and deep. Seeing the dark side of their follies, these prodigals are awakening to a higher truth and running for divine cover. Once strangers to realms of the kingdom, these new converts will come with open hearts and inquisitive minds. Many will be surprised to see whom the Father has been working on and waiting for. Do you know what the disciples who were called before Matthew, do you know their reaction when Matthew was called to? They couldn't stand it.
Wow.
They saw that this Matthew, who has been working for the Romans, has been peppering us with taxes. The guy was so smart. He will calculate your debt to the penny. He's a Jew. He's a Jewish guy. But the Romans used him to collect every dime and every penny from his own country. So they hated him. So when Jesus called him, he said, what? You have called this man to? No, 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 we don't understand. This is the evil, the scum of the evil, the most evil one. The worst of the worst, you have called him. For he came to seek the lost. And all of us, including those who were rejecting. Anyway, now he says, many will be surprised to see whom the Father has been working on and waiting for. Some once thought enemies will have a seat at the family table, and it will bring the Father great joy. Are you flowing with what I'm reading?
Yes.
And then he says, gives a caution, guard against the spirit of the older brother. Guard against the spirit of the older brother and rejoice with the Father. But guard your hearts, you who have been faithfully following the Father's words and serving without compromise. Guard your hearts, lest you embrace the spirit of the older brother who will feel jealousy at the return of his direct support. Guard your heart, lest you rob your Father of just reward of restoration and transformation. Even now, religious zealots are pointing fingers at those whom heaven is giving favor and access. In both the church and the public square, the spirit of the older brother is poisoning the well with arrows of accusation. There are politicians and do not allow, it says, do not allow the Father's grace to be infected with jealousy and pride. Rejoice in those whom the Spirit has been drawing, for the Father is determined to bring all his prodigals home. Say with me, the Father is determined.
The Father is determined.
To bring all his prodigals home.
To bring all his prodigals home.
Yes. So the Father has known the heart of each of his sons and daughters. He alone has known the path they must take in order to find their way home. Trust him in this and determine to rejoice with the prodigals who are about to return. Rather than focusing on all they have squandered, Fix your eyes on the Father's amazing grace. What has been lost in the natural will be a faint memory as the goodness of a lavish father is about to be poured out on his entire household. Prepare, for a great celebration is about to commence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, guys, are you encouraged by this? By this thing that God impressed upon. Yeah. It is very easy to say that, I have been in the church all these years. I've been paying my tithe. I've been doing this. This person just came on board and look at the blessing that he's enjoying. No, it's not fair. Wait. Please, let's not have the spirit of the older brother, okay?
Older brothers, yeah.
Now, let me share something with you that I need you to grasp. Pay attention. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, look at something. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Chris, please give me the scripture. Genesis 3, verse 15. It says, And I will put enmity between thee. Let's read from verse 14 so that you can understand where it's coming from. Now, it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, who's the serpent? Who does the serpent represent?
The devil.
Very good. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Listen, no. You are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So the curse was upon the serpent. Now, pay attention. Look at the next verse. You see the colon? The next verse says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I will put enmity between thee. Now, it doesn't say and a woman. It says and what? The
woman.
So now when you see the woman, you are noticing that it's a specific particular woman. You see it?
Yeah.
I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, between your seed, the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the woman. Then it says that the seed of the woman shall bruise or crush your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, I need you to take this, look at this seriously. It is the seed of the woman that has the power and the ability to crush the head of the serpent and all his seeds. You see it?
Yes.
It is the seed of the woman. That seed of the woman. Now we all know that when you are born, you know, when every person gives birth to, we say the son of Jonah or like Bar Jonah, son of Joseph, son of Eli, son of Jacob, son of Jonah, son of this. So isn't that everybody is known by the seed, which is the father, right?
Yes.
Because the seed comes from who?
The man,
the father. So why is there a reference to the seed of a woman? Why? There is nowhere besides this particular seed that a man or a child or a baby, a daughter, whatever, is referred to as the seed of a woman. No, nobody is known by the mother. Everybody is known by the father, because the seed comes from the father. The blood comes from the sperm. The blood originates from the sperm. It does not come from the egg. Science has proven this.
Yeah.
But the reference to the seed of the woman is because she's the only woman who did not receive that seed from a man.
Okay.
He received the woman from God himself. So that he will not be under bondage. And he alone will have the capacity, the ability, the strength, the power to submit to God and crush
the head of the serpent.
Now, why is this so important? Why am I telling you this? Because Because in the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, now remember, it was here in this garden that the seed of the serpent was sown in man, called Adam, the first man. Remember?
Yes.
What was the result? The curse came upon Adam. How many people did the curse pass over?
All.
So we were all seeded with the seed of the serpent, the seed of the devil. Now, in the book of Revelation, there is a great deal about the Antichrist. How many of you have heard about the Antichrist? How many of you want to know? Just I'm going to spend just about a couple of minutes so that you can understand this properly a little bit. Are you with me?
Yes.
So there's a great deal about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is also called the man of sin. The man of sin. The man of sin. Hear me. The Antichrist is called the man of sin. It says, what is that? The man of sin is the sin of man that has fully matured and it's personified in a man, meaning that the sin of man has taken its fullest proportion in man, and it is revealed, this sin of man, which is fully revealed in man. I mean, its characteristics, like the fruit has matured. And it is seen in Revelation. It is seen in the era. Why? Because everything that is sown in man must be reaped, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So the seed that was sown in man, as in Adam, we see it has become the fullest fruit. Please forgive my use of the language incorrectly, but it has matured fully. Now, when you see him, you see that, wow, this is the sin of man come to fruition. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, this is our basic nature until we are changed in Christ. So what we are entering into, what we are going to see is that which was sown in man, now fully manifested in man. Now, it is the mature fruit. It's the mature fruit of the tree of knowledge that Adam and Eve ate from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The root and the power of this man of sin is the serpent himself. Mm-hmm. Now, and he had to be fully revealed in man, because whatever is sown in man must also be reaped. Now, and I'm saying that in this beast, we see ourselves without Christ. It is only by this revelation that we begin to perceive the depth of the unfathomable grace and mercy of God and our profound need to be born again in Christ. Now, let me tell you something. We are coming to a time where the person who will give you up is not the person you thought was an enemy. Why? Because that which was sown in man is about to be, it's about to reach its fruition. Let me say it again. What miracle didn't Peter see as he walked with Jesus?
Yeah.
You are dealing with a man who is walking on water. I mean, what more conviction do you need? That this is supernatural. I mean, this is a beyond, and I don't know. I cannot even say anything against such a being, because he walks on water. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I mean, he takes a boy's lunch, and he used that lunch to feed 5,000 men, not counting women.
Yeah.
Somebody is dead. He goes there and says, arise. The person rises up. Look, things that are given, every man has given up on it. He comes, he brings life to it. What other miracle was there to be witnessed that he did not witness, that all of them did not witness? But when it came, the time of proving. Say it would still have been the time of proving.
The time of proving.
Yes. He says, please, I still choose myself.
Forgive myself.
Exactly what the people did after witnessing the greatest miracles. Pattern of sea, cloud appearing. When you need shade, cloud appears.
Yeah.
When it's so cold, say sun should appear.
Yeah.
I mean, multiplication of frogs. You are next door to the one whose house is being invaded with frogs. The frogs know to stay only in your next door neighbor who is not covered with the blood upon the doorpost. The frogs know. They know. They know that this house is not covered with the blood. The next house is covered with the blood. The blood is upon the doorpost, so we don't go there.
Ah.
The frogs know.
Mm-hmm.
Makatayaba.
Yeah.
The frogs know. I mean, you have walked through the Red Sea. You have come on land and you have walked for 3 days. And you know that there are women who have just had their babies, right?
Yeah.
They need to eat and feed their children, right?
Yes.
They need to drink water and get some for their newborns, right?
Yes.
How come that no single person could die even without the provision of water?
Water. Wow.
A supernatural. And they saw it. They witnessed it. But still. Still. It's not enough. Why? Why is that? Why am I sharing all these things with you? Because until the nature that ruled man was brought to an end in the sacrifice of his death, we were all under bondage. We were all cursed. This life was rejected. That is why when the son came, he had to be rejected. Because all men were rejected.
Yes. Wow.
All men were cursed. He had to receive every affliction and torment, mental torment to the highest degree. Everything that the enemy had the right to visit upon you and me, he had to experience it and pay for it, and then bring not only those curses to an end, but your nature to an end. And in the resurrection, he raises a new life, and that life is his life. And it is his life that has come to dwell inside you. And there is only one thing that he requires. There is only one thing that he requires. There's only one thing that he's requiring from you and from me and from every person who receives him. There's only one thing. There's only one thing. Now, I'm getting close to what is on my heart to share with you. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 to 17. Let's read it. I pray to God to share two very important things with you. And I'll be close. Please give me Revelation chapter 13 from verse 16 to 17. It says, please give it to me. Revelation chapter 13 from verse 16 to 17. It says that, and he caused all, both small and great. Wow. Both small and great. Rich and poor. Can you see there is no distinguishing? There is no comparison. There is no like, oh, because you've been poor, God is going to have mercy. No. Look at it. And he caused all, both small and great, both rich and poor, free and bond. So it doesn't matter whether you are free. Doesn't matter whether you live in America, you live in whatever. Is it so cool? Whatever. I forgot the name. It says, he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Wow. Next verse, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or
the name of
you either had the mark or you had the name of the beast. So you either had the mark or you have the name of the beast or the number of his name. Can you see the three things?
Yeah.
The mark.
The name.
If you don't have the mark, you have the name of the beast. If you don't have the name of the beast, what do you have?
The number
of his name. So now, let's go on. Now, in chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, look at it. Chapter 14, next chapter, verses 9 and 10. We see that terrible wrath comes upon all who take the mark. Bible says that, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man does what?
Worship.
If any man worship the beast and his image. If any man worship the beast and his image. Now, pay attention. If any man does what? Worships the beast and his image. What does it mean to worship the beast and his image? To worship yourself. Remember, the beast is the sin of man which has come to fruition maturity. He's called the man of sin. It's the personification or the sin of man now fully personified in a man, just as the seed that God also sows in man will be fully personified. And when you see that seed, you see the son. Likewise, it's saying that if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Next verse.
Yes.
Next verse. Oh, are we there? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. I mean that it's fully wrath. There is no addition of mercy or anything.
Wow.
Poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, men, please bring me back. Men have striven to understand the manner in which this beast would attempt to place his mark on them. So they would know what to refuse and be free from the wrath that has been foretold. True or false?
True.
Isn't that what we all try to do? Mm-hmm. Let's figure out how is he going to manifest and what's he going to do? How is he going to put his mark on us? And by all means, we must avoid it. We can live our lives anyhow, but by all means, we must avoid that mark. Well, here's the thing. Many of those who are frantically trying to understand how the beast will try to place his mark on them are partaking of the spirit of the beast every day. They are partaking. You are born again. Yes. They have received the Christ. They speak in tongues. But they are partaking of the spirit, the nature of the beast. How often? Every day. That's why I keep on telling that it's not enough to receive the Son as your Savior. You must crown him as Lord every day. Every day. Now, are we going to be free from the curse of the mark if we refuse a physical mark but are of the very nature of the beast? Ask yourself. Hey, Pastor, what is the nature of the beast? The nature of the beast is to worship yourself. What's the nature of the beast? The sin of man, because when man eats from that tree, it is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It makes you independent of God. So that's why God could not do anything with them. He had to drive them out and work for 6,000 years to bring that nature to an end in the Son, so that he will bring forth a new nature. It is the new nature that is not only able to receive the life of God, but also lives the life. Now, I want to say that just as the mark that God puts upon his bond servants are not physical, it's possible that the mark that we're talking about, it's also not physical. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you think about it, like I was sharing with my daughter and other people. When Peter went to Jesus, in the day of proving, when he disowned Jesus, do you know what the people said about him? When they say, I don't know him. I don't mock him. And he told the girl, shut up, go to your mother. You small girl, instead of living with your mother, look at where you are. Now, do you know what the people said? He said, your speech, your manner of speech, mm-hmm. even gives you away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's because you have worked with him for so long that without intending, your manner of speech is even like him.
The way you talk, yeah.
You are giving yourself away the more you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You are denying the truth that you are of him.
You don't know him, yeah.
For fear of the death that was coming upon him. Are you with me?
Yes.
But why didn't Jesus give up on him? Because Jesus knew that it was in the death that his nature was about to be once and for all changed, so that the desire that was in his heart could now be lived. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, guys, I'm not preaching to you at all.
Yeah.
Now, anybody, listen to me. Regardless of the form in which the mark comes or has come, those who have partaken of the nature of the beast, which is the spirit of the world, will not be able to resist the mark or anything else the beast has to offer. What am I saying? If we don't see, the Bible says Second Corinthians. Look at Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Let me just share this with you. I'll share two scriptures. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Because we need to understand what we have been delivered from, what we have been born again from and into. Does that make sense? Because once you get it, then you know why this person behaving the way he's behaving. Why is he talking the way he's talking? Why is he not seeing what I am seeing? Is that you need mercy. You don't curse the person. I mean, don't curse somebody who is mad and is perishing. Even doctors don't fight back when patients who are known to be psychiatric, you know, patients. They don't say, you threw a punch at me, you will see what I will do to you. Is that what doctors do?
No.
The guy is punching you in the face. But you don't fight back. You are trying to get a needle shot so that he will be stilled because you know the source of his misbehavior, right?
Yeah.
Now it says, but I fear lest by any means, can you give it to me in the NASB? The NASB says it in a nicer way. The NASB. It says, but I fear, or I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the what?
Simplicity.
From the what?
Simplicity.
From the what?
Simplicity.
From the what?
Simplicity.
From the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. The only way to avoid the wrath that has been placed upon those who partake of the nature of the beast and worship the beast or receive from the beast, is the only way out is the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. What is my Lord saying? Oh, then I can say that. If he's not saying this, I can't say it. What is he choosing? What is his judgment upon this matter? What is his judgment upon this issue? That is why when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not talking to you about you. He talks to you about the Christ. Because when you come to know the Christ, then you come to know what is true about you. Because everything about you is false, except what the Christ says regarding you or has made you. So it is just simplicity and purity of devotion to this one who has now become your life. That's why he said that, beloved, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present, this is all there is to do. You present your bodies, your opinion, your emotions, your will. He said that I am suffering so much pain, I can't take it anymore. Well, your flesh is speaking, it's loud, and we all know it, because when our flesh is speaking, you can easily ignore it. The power to say no to your flesh is in, I won't do this again. Well, How do you overcome it? Simplicity, purity of devotion to Christ. You take your eyes off you. You put it to, you bring it to Him. The grace pours in. Why? Because He gives His grace to the humble. The humble is he who denounces his flesh. The humble is who denounces his flesh. Who says that if any man will come after me and shall not hate his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, and ye, if any man will come after me and does not hate his own, do you know that it's in that same scripture that we just read from the beginning, Luke 14, verse 23, where he said that go into the hedges, go into the that's two verses down. He says, if any man shall come after me and shall not deny his father or hate his father, hate his mother, hate his brother, hate his sister, and yea, his own life. If we don't know that in the book of Revelation, the one who is called the beast is he's actually that which was sown in man, which is in you, which is coming to fruition, so that the behavior of the beast is actually the behavior of anybody who one does not receive the Son or receives the Son but continues to live unto himself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's why I said that the person who will give you up is actually the person who's supposed to be your closest confidant.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because he has not learned the art of denying himself and living unto the Christ, living in simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He has not learned it. So when the hour comes, don't be surprised if he denies you. He will say, he is hiding here. Come and get him.
Forgive.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now let me share this thing with you and then we close. Oh, guys, are you being blessed by the word of God so far?
Yes.
Look at Revelation chapter, I think it's chapter 3. Look at Revelation chapter 3. 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Let's read it. Now, the reason why I'm sharing all these things with you is because I need you to see what it means to be born again and why everybody has to be born again. And if you're not born again, well, there's no hope for you. I don't expect any right behavior from you. And number two, after you are born again, if you don't live, you see that as you have received him, so walk in him. So walk in him. So if you receive him and you don't walk in him daily, well, you will worship the beast. The beast is yourself. The beast is yourself. You live unto yourself because the beast says, I will ascend. That beastly nature is still at work against us. Now look at something here. He says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Wow. Let's go ahead. Verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is who?
The devil.
And?
Satan.
Wow. He's making sure that you understand who he is talking about.
Yeah.
So that there's no room for you to figure out, is he talking about the devil? No. He says the devil and Satan. And bound him 1,000 years. Bound him for how long?
1,000 years.
Wow. How many of you know that it hasn't happened?
Mm-hmm.
How many know that there's never been 1,000 years that Satan has not been around? I mean, nobody can say that, we are in that era. Wow, 1,000 years. No more Satan. Well, okay. If you can see jealousy, Satan is happening. If you can see rejection, Satan is happening. Are you with me?
Yes.
this and bound him 1,000 years. Next verse. Look at it. And cast him where?
Into the bottomless pit.
To the bottomless pit. And shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations. How?
No more.
So who is deceiving the nations?
The devil.
I tell you, he will deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be what? Fulfilled. And what happens after that?
And after that, he must be lose a little season.
Please tell me, God, why?
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 You lose him again.
Why?
Take care of him.
After all these years of torment, is it not enough? Take him out. Why did you keep him there in the bottomless pit? So that we can know some freedom. Hey! Wow. Why? And this is what I need us to understand. One basic principle we see consistently in God's dealings with man is that he always allows his work to be tested. He must allow his work to be tested. When that serpent, the devil, is bound and put into the bottomless pit, the Bible says that Jesus will reign for 1,000 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus is reigning for 1,000 years, what do you think is going to happen?
Peace, joy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
No more.
The love of the Father will be made manifest, the compassion, the making all things right, the peace. Mm-hmm. How is that? The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So it's sure to happen. But again, let me say it again. One basic principle we see consistently in God's dealings with man is that he always allows his work to be tested. He put the tree of knowledge in the garden as a test. Why?
Yeah.
He did not do this to cause Adam and Eve to sin, but for there to be true obedience, for there to be true obedience, there must be the freedom to disobey.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can't tell me that you love me when you have never had the opportunity not to love me.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So he must allow what he does to be proven.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not afraid of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because he also knows the remedy or how to fix it.
Wow.
That's why COVID and whatever is happening, you should look at it and say, the king is about to reveal something that we all will see and glory in it.
Wow.
Not, hey, I'm going to guard myself. What are you going to do? You wait to see what is yet to happen.
Mm.
But his light will shine. Ah! Oh.
Yes.
Who's the enemy? He's about to be bound anyway. We don't know when, but it will happen.
Definitely.
Yeah. It says, there cannot be true faith. It says, for there to be true worship, there must be the freedom not to worship. That is why the King of Glory, after you have even received him, he say, I stand at the door and I knock. And he says, today. Mm-hmm. And we know every day is what?
Today.
Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So you find majority, many sons and daughters, they are born again, they have received a gift and all that. But they go on living their lives, watching what they want to watch. Just spending hours seeing what they want to see. Declaring what they want to declare, allowing themselves to be infuriated by whatever the offense is, anything. It's like, please, I can't stand this. You can't. But I thought you were dead. You. Why are you bringing yourself to the equation? Why are you talking about you? Is there any more you? Don't you know that the life you now live is not you, it's Christ? And he says that I have given you a word of reconciliation. Go tell them that there is nothing between me and them. That is word to you. And you go and say, you cursed. You, whatever. God will punish you. God will punish you. Who told you that? No. So for there to be true worship, there must be the freedom not to worship. That's why I told you that in the kingdom of God, the greatest thing is freedom. To either choose more, reject him, Are you with me?
Yeah.
And every, it's something that you do every day. It's not just one time you've done it, so you are set. No. There cannot be true faith without the freedom to not believe. That's why it doesn't force anybody. It doesn't force anybody to believe him. He made sure that his son, who was bringing salvation, peace, and joy, redemption to the world, will be born in the stable. He will be born in the place where horses are eating, sheep is being born. As Mary was giving birth to the Son of God, the Son of Man, another sheep was giving birth. Yeah. Because the Paschal lamb, see, the lamb that is offered, were being born at the same time as he was being born, because he was caught in the lamb. So as he was giving birth, you went to give birth at what's the hospital? St. Luke's Roosevelt. That's where my daughter was born. Our Lady of Mercy on a nice bed. And then they have to even give you an injection to make sure that there's no pain. Hey!
Wow.
The Son of Man, he made sure that he was born in the place where you will only receive him by your spirit, not by his nobility and where he was born. And wow, the Messiah was born by King whatever. No. So that those who receive him not. Yeah. The Lord wants his creation to serve him because we want to, not because we have to. Then after he has allowed, because after we have all experienced the torment of the devil and the wrestling to present our bodies daily as a living sacrifice, because every day is a wrestle. You feel like this. You say, no, you will not control what I do and what I don't do. You will not control what I do and what I don't do. What are you doing? You are presenting your body a living sacrifice unto God. I feel like saying this. I'm not going to say it. Why? Because I feel like this, but I'm not going to allow my flesh to rule me today. I'm presenting my body today, a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto him. This is my reasonable act of spiritual worship. Listen to me. It is only the Son of Man, who had the power to bring an end to the curses that was upon your life. It's not a prophet. It's not a man of God. It's not an evangelist. It's not this and this and this. No, it's the Son of Man. That is why every prophet, every apostle, every evangelist points everybody to the Son of Man and what he has done. He alone. And he did not do it by money. And so you cannot say, I'm giving money so I'll be blessed. You what? No. For you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. The curse does not come to an end by you giving money. No. He blesses you. And because what's the blessing? The blessing is the Son's life coming into you. Why? In him is life. And the life is the light. So what if he gives you so much money and you don't have the Son? Why? How can you walk in light?
Right.
Are you not going to divorce your husband? So he says, oh God, bless me. I will know that you have blessed me if you give me a husband, or if you give me a wife, or if you give me a baby, if you give me a child, then I will know that you have blessed me. Listen to me. You will divorce him. You will divorce her. You will ruin everything. Why? Because you will continually walk in darkness. Mm-hmm. When you walk in darkness, that's when you hit your head against the wall and you bleed. That's happening. So he blesses you. Then now you live the life that is blessed. So how do I forgive? Oh, the one who is love now lives in me. That is my nature. I defer to him. And the grace to love now comes. The grace to forgive comes. The grace to overlook a fault comes. The grace to doesn't come by my me trying and my willpower and by no. I defer to him. And this is what we must learn, deferring to him every day. As we learn this, when the mark comes, why? Because we shall be marked with the mark of the bond servants of God, Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. That's your calling. That's my calling. So we must live that life that we have received. We must let it manifest in our life. As we do so, how's that? The simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, not to any man, not to any person, not to anything, any cause, but to this Christ. What you say, what he's saying, we come in his name and we come in his person. Let's rise to our feet, please. Wow.